Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of the growing number and frequency of weather anomalies, hurricanes followed by a deadly series of wildfires engulfing Texas. Rick Piltz, the director of Climate Science Watch, joins us to assess the causes behind what appears to be a change in climate, a change that the governor of Texas, who interrupted his presidential campaign to deal with the fires, claims is not happening. Then we'll look into the tar sands oil pipeline controversy from a Canadian perspective with Cleo Pascal, who's a fellow at the Royal Institute of International Affairs and a consultant to the US Department of Energy, NATO, and the OSCE. She is the author of Global Warring: How Environmental, Economic, and Political Crises Will Redraw the World Map. Then finally, we'll hear from the Reverend Billy, an anti-corporate activist who takes on the role of a revivalist minister with his Church of Earth Alleluia to preach against consumerism and militarism. We'll talk about what he has planned in New York for this coming weekend's 10th anniversary remembrance of 9/11. Joining us now is Rick Piltz, who is the director of Climate Science Watch, a watchdog program of the Government Accountability Project in Washington, D.C. Rick has worked on environmental and energy policy since the 1970s and from 1995 to 2005 held senior positions in the coordination office of the federal programs that support scientific research on climate and global environmental change. Prior to that, he served for 4 years on the professional staff of the House Committee on Science, Space and Technology, supporting the committee's oversight activities on global climate change research. In March of 2005, Mr. Piltz resigned from the U.S. Climate Change Science Program to protest the Bush administration's political interference with climate change science communication, which he charged was undermining the credibility and integrity of the federal research program. Welcome to Background Briefing, Rick Piltz.
Hi, Ian. Good talking with you.
And it's clear that there's been an increasing frequency and intensity of these weather anomalies. I think you just have to be simply unconscious not to notice it. Why is it, though, that none of these events are tied together, that they're just one after another? And how many times have you seen the president step up and issue disaster declaring disaster emergencies and opening up the federal coffers? I mean, it feels to me that sooner or later we're going to run out of money here.
Well, that is a problem. But there is a problem with the political leadership at the highest level. The president seems to be reluctant to talk about human-caused climate change. I think he knows better, but for some reason is not taking that message to the public. And his political opposition seems to regard global warming denialism as a kind of political litmus test. I mean, you have the extreme case of a tremendous range of climate-related weather disasters going on in Texas this year, while the governor, Rick Perry, attacks the scientists and denies the reality of climate change.
I believe if he becomes president, he'll cut all funding and basically put climate research out of business, right?
Well, let's look at this question of funding. Well, you know, what's going on down there in his state is really an eye-opener, and it's quite remarkable that he can turn away from looking at the long-term implications. I mean, they've got the worst drought in the recorded history of Texas. I mean, more than half the state is under exceptional drought conditions. Exceptional is the category that's as bad as it can get. They've had $5 billion in losses to Texas agriculture alone. It's an economic disaster. And it's officially the worst drought Texas has had going back to the 19th century. They might get some rain, but these kinds of conditions will tend to persist and intensify over time with global warming. And the heat wave, I mean, there's never been a Texas summer hotter than this summer. 17 major cities have recorded their hottest summer. Down in Austin, where I used to live, I mean, they've had 67 days above 100 degrees. There was 112 one day down there. And the wildfires you see in the news now, there have been 20,000 wildfires in Texas this year. 3.5 million acres burned. It's more than 5,000 square miles. 700 homes have burned in the last 2 days, not far from where I used to live. And the Texas politicians, they always want to cut the federal budget and trash talk the federal government. And Perry says if he becomes president, EPA won't know what hit him, and they want to cut the science and deny it. But they are quick to ask for federal disaster assistance. They benefit from the government spending to suppress their wildfires and provide relief for their farmers. So, I mean, the whole state of Texas is under some kind of weather-related disaster declaration, but they're part of the disaster declaration ought to include Governor Perry. He's a disaster.
Well, Rick Peltz, again, Director of Climate Science Watch, the area that's been burnt since September is larger than the state of Connecticut. And as you say, it's about $5 billion in damage to the state's agriculture. Up to 1,000 homes have been burned, apparently, in these current series of fires, which aren't too far from Austin, right? Bastrop,
they call it. Just out east of Austin. The biggest fire, I think, is around Bastrop. That's a very pretty country. Mm-hmm. Out there, and it's just east of Austin.
And there have been at least 57 wildfires in Texas over the past week. So this is and apparently the latest tropical storm down in the Gulf is fanning the flames. So you know you go from one disaster to the next. They're connected in a
well. All of these things are quite in line with what is projected as consequences of human-caused global climatic disruption. The drought all through that region of the southwestern United States, the increasing likelihood of heat waves, the increasing likelihood of intense wildfires. It doesn't mean that every year will be worse than the last. I mean, maybe next year will be a little cooler. I mean, let's hope so. Maybe this drought will ease up. But over time, what the climate scientists are saying is we are loading the dice to make these kinds of extreme outcomes more likely over time, so that whatever's going on at a particular time is some combination of the natural variability in the system, and now added into that the human-caused climate change. And that factor becomes larger, and so you will get over time, you will tend to get more of the kind of thing that we're seeing now. Now, there is no way to deal with this if you absolutely refuse to talk to the science community. There's no way to deal with this if you don't take what the National Academy of Sciences is trying to tell you and use it with some integrity and preparedness. You know, like, well, I mean, these Texas politicians, they'll take millions of dollars from the oil industry, and as their product, it's part of what's driving, you know, burning the oil and the coal is what's driving this global warming. You know, they're in the pockets of those contributors, and so it leads them to deny the reality of the science. And where does that leave their people? They're not taking care of their people because they're not using the information with integrity in policymaking.
Just in closing, Rick Peltz, isn't these climate events, particularly fires, don't they exacerbate global warming because of how much CO2 and pollution they put up? I mean, isn't it self reinforcing after a while?
The fires,
yeah,
the fires adding to the atmospheric carbon dioxide. Well, the largest example of that, you know, over recent decades has been the deforestation in the tropics, the Amazon and over in Southeast Asia, where it's a deforestation, the burning of the vegetation, you know, is one of the factors. It's not the biggest factor like coal or the second biggest factor like oil, but it's another big factor in adding to the heat trapping, you know, the hothouse effect,
right? But
that
but
we're
as
getting from
as,
the putting these gases into the atmosphere.
Sure, but as the Earth heats up, the polar ice caps melt, and as they melt, there's less sun reflected from the white polar ice caps back up to the out. So it is self-reinforcing, isn't it?
That's right. It's called the positive feedback, And when scientists say positive feedback, it's not what most people think, like that means that must be good. It means it's taking something and adding, exacerbating it. So yes, when the warming melts, the Arctic ice cap, the ice cap on Greenland, the ice cap in the Atlantic Ocean, what it does is it exposes dark water or darker land surface that absorbs more solar heat and it feeds back to accelerate the warming. That's right. And so we have these positive feedbacks into the system that tend to drive it more in that direction.
Well, Rick Pilsen, I thank you very much for joining us.
Good talking with you.
Good talking with you. Again, I've been speaking with Rick Peltz, Director of Climate Science Watch, a watchdog program of the Government Accountability Project in Washington, D.C. He's held senior positions in the federal programs that support scientific research on climate and global environmental change, 4 years as a professional staff of the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, supporting the committee's oversight activities on global climate change research. In March of 2005, he resigned from the U.S. Climate Change Science Program to protest the Bush administration's political interference with climate change science communication, which he charged was undermining the credibility and integrity of the federal research program. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the tar sands oil pipeline from Canada from a Canadian perspective.